This is Wendigo. I see you.
Hey, this is Beelzebul. I see you.
This is Asmodeus. I see you too.
Size of the galaxy. Size of the galaxy. As the Great One commands. Size of the galaxy. Size of the galaxy. As the Great One commands. Size of the galaxy. Size of the galaxy. As the Great One commands. Size of the galaxy.
Oh, poor fleshness.
Don't be afraid.
Don't
the ascended would bring purpose to your short
the
and empty lives.
The ascended would bring purpose to your short and empty lives. And no group of renegades would change that.
Must be assembled to penetrate through the core of Mordai into his core central consciousness. You already have the explosive device in QB's possession.
What?
The golden orb that we had the Tsar give you many months ago. The explosive power of this device is enough to destroy an entire planet from inside out.
I have almost dropped this thing like 50 times.
It is fortunate that you have not. For you have obliterated all life on the planet we are currently on.
Oh my god! How do you trust me with this?
Thank goodness for a lack of butterfingers this one time.
You do have...
He puts his hand on your shoulder. Relax, QB. We see all things. You were not going to drop it.
And you do have the highest agility.
Stop!
Kriya snipped that part out of reality. Huh? It's never happened.
Yeah, the Kriya... The fourth wall never existed.
I'm the
Creus.
However, this device must have a vessel to be carried in and physical components to amplify its power. Even the orb by itself will not be enough to destroy Mordai's consciousness. Luckily for you, your old fate, your paths of destiny have led you to the locations that you need to return to in order to assemble this device. Zero, you must return to the grave of a recent adversary. He has something that you need.
Statements. I understand.
Bug, you must return to the remnants of your father's last project. There is a device there that will aid you. QB, you must return to the last place where your beloved was alive.
Oh, God.
The ichor of the creatures that Zero slayed. That is what you need. Kadix, you must return to the place that you and Lyra recently called home. The one in the Vale. There is a room there. Lyra will show the way. Assemble these devices and have someone that you trust put them together, along with the orb we have given you. The rest is up to your courage and determination.
Query. How will we get to Mordai? Presumably we will need to go through many necrovirus forces to reach it.
When the device is ready, we will escort you.
Statement. Could you not simply assemble it yourself?
I'm sorry, we cannot.
Ah, very well.
Our grip on this reality is becoming thin as the war increases. As they gain more power here, our power declines. And what we can do for you is limited. Information is the best that we can offer at this time.
Observation. In that case, I suspect that our allies will be working on keeping the necrovirus occupied while we seek out and assemble this device.
Yes, but they will not hold it for long. 6 months. You have about 6 months. Then I see a different ending to this chapter.
Statement. 6 months. Stored.
6 months. What are we waiting for? We got 6 months.
You have 6 months.
We have 6 months.
We will not be able to speak again until you are ready to go to the Necro's homeworld.
Will you just kind of like pop up, or do we need to be like, hey, we're ready?
They know, they have no, they
will
know.
You must return to the Terran, your space. To what you refer to as the Shalari Anomaly. When you are ready, that is where you must go.
Statement. Understood. We shall see you there within 6 months.
And he fades.
Path this out right now.
So, the first thing that Zero does while everybody is working out how they're going to spend the next 6 months is call a conference with his fellow Zeros.
Mm-hmm.
And reserve the services of a very powerful generator somewhere on the surface of the planet.
Oh, okay.
This process will be mildly unpleasant at first. It also comes with a small chance of exploding.
What? A statement? What are we waiting for?
Exactly.
I guess that was a query, but
we do that often, don't we?
Mm.
Especially with this in their brains.
Are you removing the... Okay,
exactly.
That's what I thought.
And giving each of them a chance to experience what Zero experienced.
Right.
Beesh.
To realize that there's something beyond this life.
That's cool.
It's pretty big for Zero.
Do all of the races... Like, how did the Sar get here so fast? They just already have the technology? Like,
remember, they were given... Remember, they joined the Perimeter Alliance, so they were given...
Oh, they were just given its...
Things like that from
and the
them.
Nalu already had fairly advanced tech anyways.
The Nalu were already on their way.
Yeah.
Because they had already made this decision. So, and they knew you were here. Okay. So.
And the Malice boys?
Well, they're in Malice, right? So
they have to teleport out anyway.
Leaving here brings them through the wormholes, which are one hex away from...
Right.
10 parsecs away from Mechatol Rex. So
right.
Very
so
close.
Quick skip and a jump.
Yeah. The rest of the conference on Mechatol Rex pertains mostly to placement of military vessels along various borders. RGN allows you to leave if you so desire.
I try to motion the other three guys kind of close together in a spot nobody is.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, I don't know. Should we even tell people about what we actually need to do?
The fact that they kind of have new technology and new hope, I don't think we should tell them. Like we should say, oh, we've got to do our own preparations, but don't tell them that, hey, we could totally fail.
Statement. I agree with this. We should tell them that we have a plan which we are executing, but not the details.
But it keeps them hopeful.
It might dishearten them.
Well, I'm also more so thinking is that these allegiances are great and everything, but I don't know who exactly we can trust.
Well, we have to trust ourselves, unfortunately.
Well, this is why I'm talking to you guys and not just in my head. The problem is, I think if we were to tell people, including 2R, just down the road over there, what would stop them from getting, like, abducted by the Necro and...
The more people that know, the more fingers in too many pies, and if people try to help, it can make things worse.
It's our burden to bear to see the end and the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Statement. Agreed. Operational security dictates that we keep the details to ourselves.
Yeah, and I think perhaps when we're kind of set to go, we can get the people that kind of pledge allegiance to us, not everything else, and kind of have them meet us there.
Where are we going? What's furthest?
I'm assuming this is the kind of order we need to do.
I left all my notes for my, like, literally my obligation.
No, I got you covered,
okay.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming,
just
to kind of fast track it, he was talking about all the different places where our obligations.
You got it.
If we just don't split up, do this whole thing, I think the best we could do is a month and a half.
That's not bad.
We have a type one, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So month and a half is we go straight from Mechatol, go all the way to Mol, go there, then go to Avera. Stop, that's where Lorm was.
Mm-hmm.
Then we kind of do down to Delta Zale, and then we go over to Centauri.
So QB says, after we figure out how long it'll be, we can cut that in half, if both of us travel, I mean, Zero can kind of squish in the fighter with me or whoever decides to go in the fighter, but if we cut it in half and, like, we go to one place and then go to another, it's half the time. If we do that, it'd take, like, 3/4 of a month. If, say, the Necro find out we're going to wherever we're going and can track us, we'll be able to get in, out, and do as fast as we possibly can. It's the fastest option.
Okay, Kiwi, yeah, I kind of thought about that, maybe splitting up, but the thing is your fighter's a Type 1, and we also have a Type 1 now. Regardless of where we split up, when we split up, and where we go, it's still going to take 45 days for both of the ships, one or the other, to go all the way to Mole and then all the way back to Centauri.
So
it doesn't matter if we split up, so we might as well just kind of do it because it's still going to take 45 days to go from Mechatol to Mole, do the stops, and then all the way back to Centauri, regardless of who is flying and where and how many people.
That's fair.
It's almost poetic as well as it were, and we do work best together, and splitting us up apart just in this dark hour is
statement.
Not the best.
This is logical. Mm-hmm. Let us begin.
Cadix has plotted out the best time. Course of action to take, and that's going straight to Mole Primus first.
How many days is that?
Normally 20 days.
20 days. Okay.
With 4 success, 2 advantage, it's up to you.
It's 20 days.
Yeah.
That's pretty shitty.
Well, that's why I specifically rolled.
It's not shitty. It's just that's. Yeah, I'm building the tension now. No hand holding.
So it's 7-7-3?
Yep. That sounds right.
What did you say it was?
07. 03.
Yeah, 03.
September 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no one for my office.
That's right.
Where are we?
Mole Primus.
Mole Primus. My brain was like, Mechatol Rex. No, that's not
nope.
Right.
Pull back
it took
into
us
20 Mole
days to get to Mechatol Rex. Wow.
We just circled around fast.
We took the long way.
Yeah. We're doing the opposite of Superman.
Why are we here again?
Mole Primus is pretty much like Mechatol Rex.
So we drop into orbit and head back for your little house on the prairies.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
QB looks longingly at the sun.
Hmm. There are no ships in the Mole Primus system. The Mole system, I should say. Mole Primus is the planet.
More.
Bring the freighter back down near a Cadix Illyris ideal sort of house / cottage.
Query.
On the lake.
You seem to indicate that, or rather, I should say, the Kriya seem to indicate that you knew something about a certain room in your little house that was going to somehow be helpful in building this device.
No, didn't know about a room. The opposite of... Oh, you're talking to... They're talking to Cadix. Ignore me.
Yeah, Lyra, I don't really know. Is there like a secret room that...
Her. She looks down shamefully. Yes, my love, it's... He looks over to Bear. It's the one that he was born in.
Oh, okay, so it's not like some super sex dungeon or something.
No, we just used a bed.
Was he born from an egg?
The Malu and Hakan aren't 100% compatible.
So like a test tube.
Sort of, yes.
More like a genetic chamber that he was kind of grown in.
So like an egg!
Synthetic womb.
An artificial womb.
So
like an egg!
Thanks to my psychic connections, there was never alone. He had my mind with him while he was growing.
Was he any kind of smart, or was it just kind of boring?
Bear is remarkably intelligent. For his kind.
Haven't you seen him float?
What?
I'm not sure he's floating, my love. I think you're just picking him up with your hand and hovering him in the air.
And making noises while you do so.
Yeah, I thought it was woo!
It's kind of an assisted float, but...
Does it get easier when you do it? Okay.
To the sex dungeon.
you open the doors, it just goes bang, bang, bang,
bang. That's where electricity
is going. It's literally got a robot just
music.
Playing bass.
I forgot to turn off the disco ball.
it's had like 6 backup generators the entire time.
Zero, what is Julian in here playing the bass?
That's not a bass, that's a bass.
You squeeze in the right places and it does make sense.
Now you're just at the bottom of the lake.
Higher notes if you squeeze lower.
Lyra brings into the commons area and sort of pushes like the dining room table basically to one side and basically like lifts up like a trap door kind of thing.
I was in the basement. How did I miss this?
How did I never see this trap door?
You never cleaned.
And then she looked out shamefully again. Mm. I made sure you never saw the trap door.
Oh, is that where that rug went?
Possibly.
I knew there was something missing. Fuck.
I was in the basement! Mm.
This is below the basement.
How did it go?
No wonder it was so dusty on this trap door. It was underneath the rug.
You know what? That would explain that giant pillar in the middle of the basement.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. That was weird.
But I did.
I just thought that was like a support pillar. I don't know. Like,
you never said anything about a pillar in the basement.
Yes, I did.
I don't remember that.
See?
I did mention a pillar.
Makes good sense for QB to be like, how did I not notice it? What about the pillar? What pillar?
Ow! How did QB not notice it? You're too busy playing pool and foosball.
You were too busy fondling balls, okay?
What, a pillar? How did I not notice this?
Wow. Is that a ship outside?
Wow, what a pillar.
Wow.
Oh, wait, is that a trap door? That trap door, you just haven't seen it.
Lyra brings you down a spiral stair. Not really stairs, because it's basically just a slide.
It'd just be a ladder.
Okay. Right, because she can't.
A ladder makes more sense with a pillar, though.
She can't climb a ladder. She's a giant
spider. She has arms. It can probably float.
Yeah, she has massive guns.
Bam! Bust up the place.
The snakes are made of, like, entirely muscle. She's probably stacked.
Well, she is stacked, but... it's more like a tube slide.
I have a challenge for you. Lay on your stomach and go down the stairs. This is easy, right? You're stacked.
Well, as a kid, I actually used to try and climb down the stairs like a cat.
Yeah.
Until I got too big and started going head over...
Yeah.
Not so good.
I had a radiator.
It was fun when I was tiny.
I would bump slide downstairs. Anyways.
I'd be normal with walking.
The five kinds of people.
Jump from the top. Bump slide to the bottom, obviously.
She leads you down sort of this spiral slide / staircase into basically sort of like almost a nursery, basically. It's very much like a nursery other than the like sciencey equipment. There's a little cradle bed thing. There's little like baby toys. But there's also like a control console. And in one corner there's a large like medical tank basically. Person size. About 4 foot, 5 foot kind of thing. All glass.
Is there anything in the tank?
There was something in the tank at one point.
The thing that was in the tank is standing right beside you.
Bug!
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No, the other side.
I sit beside Richard, so that's the joke.
And then I sit next to Richard on the other side. How is that joke?
It's double joke.
It's all right, listeners. There we go.
If you didn't laugh, neither did I.
It's been there all along.
Don't feel bad. It wasn't
there. Didn't need a 5 foot container. Gosh,
he needed to float. He needed to learn how to float.
Well, there was fluids and things.
He just floats right to the top.
And connections and things.
Yeah,
electrodes.
Tubes that had to go in and so
things
on.
Attach it to things.
So. The obviousness.
Yeah. This is how babies are born in Canada. I just don't know yet.
Actually, in all seriousness, looks like a medical recovery tank that was retrofitted. For the purpose of Arnold's insemination.
Kind of like a Super Saiyan recovery tank, like you said.
Yeah, okay. If you all have that image, you can use that, like the one at Goku.
That's the one I
use.
Except rather than being round, it is tall.
It's tall.
Taller than it is wide.
Yes.
Well, technically, that was more so a Frieza Force recovery tank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Not meant for Saiyans.
But anyway. Yes. So other than that, and the control console, there isn't anything remarkable other than the assortment of baby toys and things like that. Bottles. That kind of stuff. Baby bottles, not alcohol bottles.
Cue picks up the book.
You are special.
This is the room, Cadix. This is where he was born. Spent the first few months of his life.
Statement. What was it here that you think might be useful towards the creation of an explosive device of untold magnitude?
Please tell me it's not a placenta.
Well, I could only assume it has something to do with the device that created air, because, well, it created life.
The canisters are the finest Nalu materials. Bulletproof, can stand up to this entire house collapsing on it.
A casing for the explosion, bullet as it were.
Perhaps.
Query. The Kriya seem convinced that you would know. Is it the tube, or do you think it may be something else?
Is it bear? We gotta put a bear in there?
If what you are trying to build is some sort of destructive device, this glass will hold up to most explosions, of which I'm aware. The device that you have I am not familiar with, but I have tested this with explosives. I had to ensure that bear safety at all times.
Did you try it when bear was in it, or...?
Of course not.
Look, I don't... I'm not doubting you, just like, it's come to mind, I don't know.
I do not know. I do not know if this is exactly what he meant, but this is the only thing that could possibly contain something of that magnitude. Now the only challenge will be to carry it out of here, I suppose.
Zero picks it up.
Okay.
With both hands.
Challenge complete.
How do we get out?
Trying
to be careful and gentle with it.
And he says, challenge complete.
He then walks to the long stairway. Does it pose any challenge to go back up?
Yes.
You kind of have to walk fast.
It actually has reverse suction. You sit in it with a giant canister.
I dig my metal toes into it as I go up, creating grooves.
Yeah, I'm not saying you do, but even if you were to say ding it on the edge of something,
it destroys the house.
It seems quite tough.
It's
you
like,
break the wall.
You know, it's like reinforced glass. You know.
That's better to lose.
Like glass at the same time.
That's
like that. What's that thing the sign says? Like, you can hold like four elephants or something stupid?
Really?
It's like that.
Okay. And then Zero is taking it up the slide, Kadok's just telling Bear, it's like, look, Bear. Uncle Zero right there is taking your little womb up the slide.
Statement. This seems like a strange thing to share with your offspring.
I'm pretty touched that you called him Uncle Zero, though.
Yeah, it was more so for that.
Yeah.
Statement. I am not your biological uncle. I know it might be confusing to you since we look so similar.
He kind of cocks his head.
But we can consider ourselves part of a familial unit by choice, if not by blood.
Which are the black spots?
What's that called again? We said that there's like a term for it.
Nakama.
Nakama.
Yes. Yeah. A family by choice as opposed to...
And what's that?
Family means...
I just find that interesting.
Ohana. And Ohana means nobody gets left behind.
Yep, sure. Anyways, punch through the trap door and wind it as necessary.
Oh, it's punched through now.
It's very open now.
My trap door!
Oh my god, I loved that trapdoor.
It was my favorite trapdoor.
Statement. No worries. There will be other trapdoors in your life.
But what about the pillar?
I feel confident. And then he lifts the canister out, exits himself, picks the canister back up, and continues to walk towards the ship.
Back to the ship.
All right. Zero places the canister in a safe place in the cargo hold area, which is sort of like our recreation area now.
Lyra turns to you as you... Kadok, sorry, I realize I can't do that right. Lyra turns to Kadok as you guys sort of try to take off again. I don't know if that room was hard for you or not, Kadok.
Actually, it was kind of relieving, to say the least.
I'm glad.
It was. I don't really care how Bear came into existence, just the fact that now I kind of know the truth, and the truth is fine.
I'm sorry that you couldn't have the truth from the beginning.
Well, I guess before we do take off, I should also kind of let you know of another truth. We're kind of going into a place and doing all this stuff that we may not come out of. I would love to have you and Bear come with us, but I also don't want you to die. So, you can either come with us, or this is pretty much as far as we'll get away from where we're going.
If you would have me, I'll stay. If you think it best that I stay here on the, at this home, then I will do that as well.
Well, there's a lot of times you kind of leave me breathless for words, and this is kind of one of those.
Zero pokes his head out. Statement, why don't you just bring your sex buddy with you? It will be fine. We will all be fine. By the way, where would you like me to put this?
Zero throws a rock.
You hear
no.
QB.
Oh, Cadix throws a rock. Oops.
You hear QB say,
"Don't call that." Zero throws a rock. It goes right through the hole.
You hear QB say, "Don't call it that. It's weird."
There it's really flushing.
We will all be fine. Where should this go?
Anyways, with you, Lyra, you kind of give the sense of...
Bugs laying on the docks.
...completeness when I'm around you. So, forget what I said. Just, let's go.
Okay, so then she strokes you sort of behind one of your ears and says, well then, my love, I will stay here. Mm-hmm. And Freighter takes off.
Yeah, where are
our
we...
Our next destination is Avera, I'm assuming.
Avera is 5 days away.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The edge of the Veil of Tears.
Make it to the place of clouds and distortions.
Did you say place of clowns?
The city of dreams.
Terrible clowns.
As it was called.
Well, Paradiso.
If you want to compare them to something, you know.
So it's still 5 days?
Yep, 5 days.
So it's the 8th.
Now.
And it seems more like Infernus to me.
QB gets incredibly tense as we're traveling.
As the ship makes a landing on the surface of Avera, you see it for what it really is, the way you saw it when you left. A swampy hellhole filled with caverns that lead infinitely down into the planet's core. Bubbling black substances and darkened skies.
Statement. When last I was here, I slaughtered 1,400,362 of the creatures. I suspect that we will have enough ichor to collect.
I don't want to spend any more time on this fucking rock than I have to.
We descend into the caverns?
Yes.
So there's all these crushed, bloodied, pulped creatures still lining the caverns. I suppose they're probably decomposing seriously by now, so the place must stink to high heaven.
Oh, yes.
And then probably all the blood splatter and stuff has been dried up at this point, because it has been a few months.
So presumably we need to seek out the cocoons.
Well, you return to the chamber that's very familiar for all of you, for one reason or another. Some of you were in them. And the stench of them is something you will not be able to shake. It's horrible to behold, and you can see, like I said, the gleaming white bones of the skeletons beneath them.
It's very hard for QB to be back here.
What? There are cocoons here.
Zero finds 3 cocoons that have nothing but bones left in them and rips the stalk at the top off of each one, bringing the cocoon intact down from where it's hanging and throws them over her shoulder. Sort of like a big, thick cocoon bag.
Burlap sack of bones.
Bones and ichor.
And ichor.
Yeah.
And turns to the rest of the crew. Query, I think that is it. Are we ready to go back?
For those of you with olfactory senses, sort of butt Zero, it is revolting, the smells of these cocoons that Zero is lugging.
Away with thee, Zero.
I think Bug would have stayed outside the chamber. He would have just stayed on the surface.
Right.
Wait.
Query, do we think that these are adequate? I could bring more.
Let's get out of here.
Well, if this ichor needs to fit inside this canister, and the canister was yay high, and these are like yay high, then like, accounting for some spillage, probably like...
We are not filling these up in the ship.
Probably like 1.5 is good. So 3 for experimentation,
Statement, very well. Let us proceed.
We don't even know whose bones these are.
We will have to lay them to rest with the proper honors.
Yeah, okay.
You return to the ship without any particular incident.
Zero, at the crisply expressed wishes of the rest of the crew, takes the canister out of the ship and takes the top off and rips open the cocoons over top of the canister one at a time.
QB's watching the skies as this is happening.
And then digs in the dirt of this planet and lays the bones to rest, each in their own separate grave, saying some quiet words over them each time.
Right.
and then fills the holes back in.
Right.
And then he puts the top back on the canister and brings it back into the ship.
I can't stand to be on this fucking place anymore. Can we go? Are we done?
Statement. I believe so.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
The canister is strong enough to maintain, contain the sort of very strong acidity of this liquid.
How far is this?
So far, so good.
It's the only ichor I know, so.
The acidic type.
That's a triumph!
Hey!
Haven't got one of those in a while.
You asked your game without crying. Nice.
Nope, not doing too good on that. I feel real bad.
Feels bad.
Two success, four advantage, and a triumph.
All the two successes, right?
Right. Triumph, okay. What would be the traveling time?
16.
16, so let's do 14 then for the triumph.
Excellent. So it was the 8th.
The 22nd.
Yep. 22nd of 7.
And that would bring us to the Delta Zale system.
Uh-huh. And what planet are we looking for, guys?
Abaddon?
Advised by Zero knows what the name of the planet is, but Christopher doesn't have a clue.
Okay.
He did not make a record of that.
Well, luckily, I will allow it because Device My Zero has a recall system.
Mm.
The plant is called Zehan XXEHAM.
Device My Zero remembers that Zehan was the place that DB1 had set as their meeting place.
Yes, that is where the Janus consciousness has been stored,
Since time immemorial. Mm. Yes.
See, I wrote down Janus consciousness.
So we land on the planet Zehan near the place where DB-1 collapsed the facility in on himself.
That's right, yes.
And Zero bids the others to wait here because the whole thing is a collapsed mess of rock and metal.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts digging.
Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't gotten to roll today, Chris, so why don't you roll something for the digging?
Sure. He's rolled roll gun. Gunnery.
Oh, that's true. Well, right. Do you want to roll?
Sure. I'm athletics.
But maybe it'd be cooler.
Okay. Six successes and two advantage.
You
push. Oh, you talk your way through anything. That rock.
Six successes. That's not enough.
You need a 10.
This stone is your hardest enemy yet.
You managed to. He's trying to get blood from it. Bring up some of the slabs of the facility and manage to find, in fact, what's left of DB-1, the upper torso and the arm.
I created sort of an impromptu bear about over him, a mound of broken rock and steel. So I move the memorial I'd sort of made for him quickly aside and find him.
As you're doing that, QB has entered the place because you're taking too long and he wanted to see if you needed help. So you hear footsteps behind you as you're like stumbling upon this, not stumbling, but opening up the memorial you've done.
Query. QB, did you wish to join me?
I mean, I know you don't have the exact emotional connection to death as maybe I do, but maybe you needed a hand? At least.
And QB kind of chuckles weakly.
Statement. I appreciate the sentiment. You are right that I do not feel the same way about death. But it is not because I'm not biological, but because my perspective on it has changed. And Zero kneels down next to where DB-1 is. All the same, this is regrettable. And I wish that we could have met on different terms. Zero spends a few moments of quiet, and then he starts scanning the remains, the mortal remains of DB-1, for the thing that the Kree seem to think that he'll know is part of creating the most powerful explosive device ever.
There are two systems that are on DB-1 that are A, still intact in some way, and B, of any note, that are not like, you know, speech... units or something like that. One is the nuclear device that is in his chest. The other one is a chip that you're not particularly familiar with that's in his cranial area. Some sort of like processor, basically. Some sort of interface unit. Similar to devices you most likely have, but different.
Curious. Statement. QB. Actually, yes. I was about to say you should step back because this is potentially dangerous, but since the blast radius is at least 50 kilometers...
Oh, was this one of the big nuclear things that... Yeah, we'll all die. Go for it.
Very well. And Zero takes a sharp piece of metal and makes it sharper by running it along another piece of metal for a while, and then uses it to make a very surgical incision within the armor, the already broken armor of DB-1. The metal, of course, breaks very quickly, yes. But it lets him pull up a piece of DB-1's own armor, and then he sharpens that against the rest of his armor and slowly but surely manages to open him.
As you make that first incision, he goes, and covers his face.
Because all the blood.
No, because maybe it would have been the explosion.
He might have punctured the one.
And as you continue, QB gets closer to watch what you're doing.
You can take out what you want.
All right, then, with reverence and very slow care, Divine's My Zero detaches the hydrogen fusion generator that lies at the center of every DB model, point by point by point, yes. In a specific sequence. He moves very quickly as he's doing it, but with great care and precision.
Yeah.
And as he's doing so, he mentions some salient points to QB, like the overall megatonnage and the general blast radius.
Nice.
And the fact
actually, that's making you feel better.
The fact that it's a fairly clean explosion because it is fusion, so it uses most of the products involved, and leaves fallout that only lasts for about 10,000 years.
As you finish saying that, Kiwi just kind of... He has a worried look on his face, but he shakes his head and shrugs and says,
"Well, if we did die here, it would probably be a lot better than whatever the Necro could do to us."
Statement. I believe you are right in that. And I have finished in any case. I lift the complete unit out from Devised by One's chest.
Yes.
As I'm doing that, I look down at him and with a quick motion remove his head from his torso entire and also tuck that onto one of my arms. Say, "I believe that we are not done yet, Terminal." And then I replace the buyer pieces over the rest of his body and bring his slightly crushed but otherwise mostly intact head and the nuclear device, the fusion generator, back with me.
So as we're walking back, Zero, you've been really, I don't know, kind of reverent since you sort of died and then came back. Is there something maybe beyond?
Statement.
Like, maybe not necessarily just for you, but...
I believe that is in fact what I experienced during my, I guess we could call it, a near-death experience. I saw a light, and I spoke to it. Unlike a distant memory that belonged to my progenitor, Janice, when there was nothing but darkness and silence, this time there was presence, warmth, and a voice that responded to my questions. It did not give me answers insofar as they were specific direction, but more the sense that my life was my own to live, and my choice was mine to make, and it would support me regardless.
Kibi takes a second to take that in and nods a bunch and just says,
"Lorm was really religious, so I just... Thank you. Thank you, Zero."
Zero doesn't respond for a moment, and then, statement. "I do not think that there is anything to thank me for. It is a truth. And now we both know it."
Your character over the intercoms. "You guys done down there yet?"
Statement. "Yes, I have retrieved the thermonuclear device. We are returning shortly."
"Oh, what? Oh, yeah, right. Robot. Okay."
QB wipes the tears from his eyes and replies on the comms as well.
It'll be up in a sec.
"Okay, well, nothing else is going to stop you here. The Hylar are strangely preoccupied with possibly some other threat to their existence, and not too worried about a single freighter landing on a remote
planet. I am curious. The 9 days we were waiting around with the conference, was that...
time enough for the mind net to like upgrade our ship and do all this, or they've not
done that yet? Yes, they've upgraded your ship. Your lasers have been outfitted with
the special
technology necessary to at least
magical piercing the necroviruses.
Damage the necro?
Okay.
Shields thing.
They didn't explain how exactly so, what they did, but they have retrofitted.
Is all of our stuff effectively just side graded where they can do this stuff now?
Exactly.
Okay, no extra damage, but they can do the thing.
Just now they have the capability of actually doing something.
Okay, so our weapons weren't replaced, they just got this special ammo we can use? Okay.
Same rules. If you roll a despair, you can make us lose it.
Yeah, the clip can run out. Right. That's why he said, you know, we have limited supplies.
Is there only one? That we have
each?
Each
have a clip.
Zero returns to the ship, along with presumably QB, and definitely with Terminal's head and the thermonuclear fusion generator, and boards the ship.
Right.
QB boards the ship. I don't think I have to say that.
Statement. On to the next destination. We are almost there.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing all these pieces. Bug's gonna have a fun time putting the shit together.
Speaking of which, and Zero turns to Bug, I have a question for you regarding a downlink and a connection to a specific chip. I will need your assistance, if you are willing.
It's almost like Bug ignored that and said, he goes, there's nothing fun about putting something together that's just gonna destroy a whole race. Good or bad, it's a conscious to bear, and it's pretty heavy.
Well, you do have the choice to make it or not.
Well, someone has to, and it has to get done.
You know what, Bug? You've lived a bunch of lifetimes, especially in the eyes of, like, the Tsar. Like, you gotta get through this so you can live another one.
War is never easy.
It's not, but losing Lorem wasn't, and like maybe losing Lyra wasn't, and
all due respect, I understand. I've had loved ones, and how close they are to you, and losing them is horrible and something no one should bear, but we do. But the destruction of millions, billions.
Would you prefer no preventative measure and then there's nothing?
I understand both sides. I'm just saying, I don't know how you can think of it so lightly.
Because I was on the other side of that. I was on the side you were like 2 months ago when we were dealing with the Minet in the first place. I was on that side. I didn't want to help them. I didn't want to do anything. I even said at the conference I was still skeptical of them, but I was on that side. Why put violence towards violence for peace? But it's fucking necessary this time if we want to survive at all.
It's still not easy on the conscious.
Statement. This is correct. Nor should it be. You should suffer for the sake of others. That is the weight that we bear when we kill in defense.
Exactly.
Yeah, but also if your house is being infested by termites, aren't you going to go out and take care of the termite hill, take out the head of it, so that the rest can't destroy your home?
No matter how justified murder may be, it is still murder.
What did you need me to look at? What did you need help with?
In the short term, this thermonuclear device should be safely stowed. In the long term, and Zero lifts Terminal's head as though he were in a performance of Hamlet.
Yep.
To be fair, we might not have that long.
In the relatively long term, mm-mm, which is not very long, I would like your assistance with a unique chip and perhaps an interface to the ship's systems so that I may investigate further.
You want to put that in the ship system? What if it's bad? What worse?
As long as I examine it and make sure it's relatively safe.
Statement. I trust your discretion and your expertise.
Triumphs, six success, two advantage.
Two triumphs,
six success, two advantage.
Wow. How many days until our next location?
Oh, sorry, he was rolling for his computer's chip.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was to what, investigate the
device? Investigate the chip, yes, and see about
hooking. Just tell me everything about
okay.
it.
I don't castigate that well.
Oh, sorry.
Like maybe the crap. Maybe the
May. And I was like, it's like 3 days though. That's like, not to save that roll.
Is this chip of a different make hours. Than the Hylars or something of that nature?
This is a chip, probably built by the Hylar, but this is much more directly influenced by the Mind Net. As such, in centuries beyond, no offense to the Deep Zero model, but centuries beyond some of the processors within their own cranial areas.
We'll get there in a couple sensors.
This processing unit could be, with some adaptation, used to
upgrade zero.
basically run any kind of device with fluid accuracy, and basically you could set it up to basically run itself.
Looks
self-sustaining, self-repairing, self-checking, self-contained. Doesn't need any attachments.
Looks like
X is getting an upgrade. On a bomb.
Looks like X is getting an upgrade.
What does the chip do?
It's a guidance system.
It's a guidance system.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, its purpose is to.
Its purpose was probably inside DB1 to guide his weapons, because they were part of him.
Extraordinarily powerful, too.
They were probably used to for his, what do you call it, when you move parts of your body?
Articulation.
Okay, so it was about judging the distances between places and allowing quick and accurate movement between them, tracking
the calculations happening in the
fractions. So in other words, it's perfect for a torpedo.
It would be, yes, if you wanted to apply it that way.
Mm.
Great.
Maybe not meant for X.
I think it would be the best option, but whatever.
look, he's coming along. He goes beep beep, like it's fine. Boop, boop. Oh, he goes boop boop now. Boop, boop. Oh man,
I thought it was beep beep.
Yeah, now it's boop boop.
Oh, okay. that's
oh, that's the
oh, that's
okay.
Bleep bleep. Yeah,
okay.
It's almost bleep bleep.
It looks as though you've struck twice the amount of goals here. This is centuries ahead of everything. This can control simple machinery to do the most precise movements and location, direction, and just the accuracy it's incredible. I don't even know how half of this works together, but I know what it does.
Could you replicate it?
I can't replicate it, but I can install it. I can get it up and running. It's just like any other processor, but I mean, I don't understand half of it and why it does what it does.
Statement. Thank you, Buck. And thank you, Terminal. Your assistance will be appreciated.
Last place is Abaddon, 3 days away.
3 days away. Okay, I will make you astrogate for this one. It takes you 3 days.
Two triumphs!
So it's the 25th.
Wouldn't you be upset, though, if you roll for someone else 3 days away?
Yeah, I did that before, Nathaniel.
This is where that place was the the robots that the Letnev were making.
Yes, they had stolen from Buck's father.
Oh, this is where what's his face? Adorable is.
Yes,
Adorable.
That's right.
Yes.
Maybe in retrospect, I shouldn't have destroyed all of his exosuits. Well, what's done's done.
I
plentiful.
descend the ramp, and just kind of like with familiarity walk through these corridors. Is there...
What about the security?
Yeah,
sorry. The facility has been sort of police-lined, as it were, because of the incident. But the guards yield to the renegades.
Yep.
The Letna bow and say whatever the renegades require, they may have.
I walk
and
up
to the
general group of the guards that are kneeling. And you can get off your knees. We're nothing more than... You all. I kind of gesture them up off their knees. And
okay,
don't move until
off.
They do.
They get off, yeah.
We're here to collect something, and we shouldn't take long at all. And then I walk past them. Again, with familiarity, just straight all the way down to the chamber, I guess you could say.
Right.
It didn't take, oh, we got fleets. We got all this stuff. We're building the bomb. It took people on the street know who we are and will yield to us regardless to be like, this is really the end game.
Well, the Hylar told you that they had bought the information from the Retina of Spy, so presumably those who could afford the information knew.
How much money was that information?
But now even the common man would know that.
We're a household name! We're the Beatles. Bigger than the Beatles.
The Minets make sure that you're the banner of this new alliance.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm assuming they let them...
Beatles never saved a universe.
Make sure the Retina... Or make sure the Renegades get to do whatever they want, or you're dead.
The Beatles saving the universe. Come on.
Oh, you're the poster boys.
That's big. That's huge.
Poster boys that actually do stuff.
The Minot doesn't have time to monitor those kind
doesn't
of things.
Doesn't have time for posters.
Fighting, you know, stuff.
They're in the endgame.
Right. I'll be good. There's the uh-oh I was
should
waiting
we wreck on?
What? No. Okay. This will be when you leave.
Great.
We get the...
you come down to the final level. This is where the droids were being held, and this is also where you found... Cendric.
Have things kind of been cleaned up a bit?
Yes, there's been a little bit of fire suppression, as it were. Things have been cleaned up. The wreckage of most of the droids have kind of been thrown up into a little pile, like covered with like tarp. And also, interestingly, the Mad Boar's head has been stuck onto like a pike.
Huh.
And sort of affixed on one side.
Well, he's been causing a lot of problems. An enemy to everybody who can not.
Well, they probably took the credit for that.
So you said these machinery under a tarp kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm kind of picturing it like it's in tarp on the left side, Mad Boar's head's in the corner before the entry. Bug kind of walks by, grazes his hand against all the machinery on the walls as he walks by, just keep him close.
Yeah.
Gets to the Mad Boar's head and gestures to Zero. He says, "Zero, do you mind?" And he points at the pike and then points to the tarp. Kind of says, it's like, in a... Do you mind? It's... There's no need for it to be out in the open. This is a thing of the past.
Statement. Agreed. And he pulls the tarp and places it over the head.
Right.
And then Bug walks into the terminal area
mm-hmm.
and starts looking around for anything that might be distinguishable.
QB was pretty thorough when he destroyed most of the droid prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are parts of them that are intact, just like there were...
Okay, so this would be, I guess, he searches the terminal, doesn't see anything, mm-hmm. goes back to the droids.
Well, the terminals...
Okay.
This is the computer terminal, so... Thanks to your infravision, you managed to see through the chassis of most of the robots. Most of the things make sense. There's actuators for movement. These were non-combat things, so there's no, like, combat devices in them. Life support systems, because they were supposed to be, like, exosuits and things like that. You do find something that's pretty remarkable, and there's a signature to it. Almost like... When you read a book by a certain author, you can tell, like, mm-hmm. their writing style. There's a certain signature to the way these parts have been put together that just shout out your dad. There's just the way the wires are tied together, the way the, you know, this is next to this and attached to that. There's just the...
In the assembly, it's very his signature.
Yeah, it's like he wrote a sentence with it, you know? And there's a device there that you don't necessarily recognize right away, but it's right in the center. It's almost heart shaped. It's sort of like a small like bongo or drum. It's spherical like this, and whatever it does, it seems to be connected to every other thing in the chassis.
Mm. As Bug notices that and sees these signatures and obviously pieces two and two together, turns around just very very dramatic. Looks kind of skyward, just like deep breath. Like, obviously, this is one of. He hasn't seen his father forever, and it's just like, again, like this might be like the end of his life as it may be. So it's just it's a lot for him to take in, and then he kind of gets to work, turns around, kind of tries to. To sloppily move all this stuff around to access this hatch or this area.
Yes.
starts kind of peeling off broken, destroyed, shot out pieces of metal, as it were. Yeah.
Like the chassis?
Yeah. Sees this this piece of machinery,
yes.
Kind of tries to figure out what it may have been
mm-hmm.
used for.
Yes.
In this yeah. instance.
Yes.
And then, I guess, starts unclipping these wires and carefully lifts it out and tries to examine it, understand
mm-hmm.
its meaning, its reason, what its purpose was.
You always knew your father was smart, but this is just confirmation for you. This device could give the best High Lord the run for their money. In essence, what you're holding in your hand is an ignition switch. This is the device that sent the information to the neuron, the brain of the machine. Remembering that these machines were meant for interfacing, an organic being with an inorganic being. This was the device that made it all possible, that sent the complicated signals of a human brain or organic brain into a machine and made it all work. This is the connector, the on switch, the thing that makes it move.
Asbug takes this out very carefully, almost tenderly, with his two hands. Turns around and just kind of generally speaking to everyone, it's the thought, it's the reason behind it all. It's practically living. It's supposed to start the whole thing off. He walks past them towards the elevator. It'll pretty much ignite the whole thing. It'll finish it all, as it were.
Oh, it's our go button.
Pretty much the big red button that we're supposed to push.
Mild apprehension. Then we have collected all of the requisite pieces. Now it is in your hands, Bach.
Literally.
We've got time to put it together. I know how it needs to be put together and what goes where, and it shouldn't take me too long, really. A couple days to be careful and take breaks, but this could all be done on our trip to the Shalarian Anomaly, I guess.
It seems simple. Bach assembles the device. You are the Shalarian one last time and meet your fate, one way or the other. Next time on Twilight Imperium Renegades, we hit the end.
Hey, this is Richard, player QB Fox and producer of the Twilight Imperium Renegades podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate every single view, every single download. If you want to start a direct dialogue with us, go to twitter.com/TMRenegades or use the hashtag TMRenegades, which we also track, and talk to us. Send us a couple messages because we want your input. We want to know what's good, what's bad, and we want to know how much you're enjoying the show. We really appreciate these comments, so send them in. This is a original story written by Nathaniel Kiefer and produced again by Richard Delisi. Twilight Imperium Renegades is set in a universe created by Christian T. Peterson for the Twilight Imperium set of board games, produced by Fantasy Flight Games. Twilight Imperium 4th Edition is out on the market. Pick it up. It's an 8-hour long board game, but trust me, it's the best board game we've ever played, and clearly we want to share that with you guys because, well, made this whole podcast in that universe, so that's pretty cool. Music is produced by Maxo. You can find them at levelmusicmaxo.bandcamp.com. Songs used in this show are Frozen Foot, Vast Space, and Breakneck Subway. The cast of Twilight Imperium Renegades is Nathaniel Kiefer as the GM and every other character that is not our main party, Christopher Kiefer as Divides by Zero, Philip Zivkov as Bug, Kirk Dawson as Captain Caddix, and Richard Jellison as QB Fox.